bring you down. You'll plant your feet back on the ground. You fly so high, you swoop so low. To play, they'll take you trips around the bay, they'll bring you back the same day.
That's great. Great stuff. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It is Tuesday. Two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Coming up a little bit, we're going to be talking about game shows and much more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And what you just heard there was Great Moments in Vinyl. They'll be paying tribute to the Moody Blues this Thursday, October 25th at Martyrs. You can check out greatmomentsinvinyl.com for more information. We have a link on our Facebook page. And we always love to welcome the guys back to the show. First, let's welcome the guy who puts it all together, Lindsey Cochran. Lindsey, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much. It always stuns me to hear us on your radio show. It's just a blast.
Yeah, no, it's great, man. You guys are the best. And then joining you as part of Great Moments in Vinyl this Thursday, paying tribute to the Moody Blues, is a good old friend of ours, Phil Angotti. Phil, how are you, man?
I'm good. Nick, how are you, buddy?
Good, good, good. Good to see, good to hear from you.
Good talking to you.
Lindsey, tell us about, as we often do, about Great Moments in Vinyl. What's it all about?
Well, it's just a brainstorm I had a few years back, just that I love music. I love music, all kinds of music. And I thought, what a great way to get together with some of the musicians in this town who are very good at playing music to pay tribute to artists that we all love collectively. And with Great Moments in Vinyl, we just sampled different albums, different artists, different periods, different ways of putting music together with different bands, depending on who's got the strength to make each show happen. And this time out, actually, I've worked with Phil on a couple of different shows, Tom Petty and the Beatles and Nirvana, and Phil just said, hey, I've been test driving some Moody Blues stuff over the past year. I'd love to try doing a Great Moments in Vinyl show with their stuff. And I thought, I've always wanted to play that kind of music, you know, get that sort of Mellotron sound going, get a flute player in, get those harmonies and that Justin Hayward guitar. And well, anyway, we put it together. And this Thursday night, what you just heard was a rehearsal clip of us. It was basically Phil playing guitar and all the voices singing. They were working on harmonies tonight at our rehearsal. But we'll have the whole band there with drums and glockenspiel and flute and mellotron and everything Thursday night at Martyrs.
And who will be playing with you guys?
Well, I got Phil doing a lot of the lead. I have John Bowes, who's been on your program before, who plays flute. He's a great sax player in the Chicago scene, but we've got him playing the Ray Thomas flute, plus singing a few songs. Scott Tipping, who's been on your show with me before, an incredible guitar player and singer. So he'll be handling all the Justin Hayward lead guitar stuff and singing a few songs. Jim Ryan, who I worked with on, was it the Allman Brothers show? Or was it
Stones
the Pink Floyd show? Or was it the Rolling Stones? Yeah, he was our Ian Stewart? I'm blanking out here. You can help me.
Or Nicky Hopkins, either one.
Yeah. But so he's going to be singing and playing the Mellotron. We actually got a friend of Phil's loaned us his digital Mellotron, so we have the actual sounds. He was in the rehearsal tonight playing clips of Strawberry Fields Forever and Isn't Life Strange, you know, the Mellotron sound that Mike Pinder played on that particular Moody Blues song. So we have the instruments, we have the sound, we have the players. Also, a drummer by the name of Jim Barkley will be joining us, and he's just an amazing musician. So I'm stoked about this show.
Yeah, you always get the best musicians, Lindsey. They're really great.
Guys love music. I mean, that's the secret. It's like, I tell these guys, hey, how would you like to try to play this stuff? And they just love the challenge. I mean, it's not so much of a challenge. These are talented musicians. But it's as Phil was saying earlier, I think it was Phil, you said, it's like, when does anyone get the chance to play this stuff?
Yeah. True.
All right, Phil, tell me about your connection with the Moody Blues. Did you like them early on?
I did, Nick. You know, going back to, don't have to tell you how much I love the Beatles, but, you know, as a kid growing up with the Beatles and the Stones and the Who, Kinks and Zombies, they were all kind of like the next band that I kind of discovered. And particularly in high school, I just thought the album covers are cool and the moody, interesting arrangements. It's a very different band. they could rock at times, but they're also very mellow and thought-provoking. And I always thought they were very interesting, and I love Justin Hayward's singing.
Yeah.
So it's a band I've always, I really have truly always liked. And there's been a few songs over the years that I have performed either solo or, the Beatle Brothers did a couple songs of theirs, but it's so many, like Lindsay was saying, there's so many songs from the catalog, they're great songs, but you just wouldn't play them normally with a band because it's a lot of them are just odd instrumentation-wise.
Yeah,
so it's fun.
Yeah, so you guys are going to have a nice challenge and a nice gig then on Thursday night. And again, Martyrs is your home base there, Lindsay, and it's such a great room. They're really great over there.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, a lot of this music is just like living out fantasies, you know. Who would ever put Isn't Life Strange in a set? But there's some just amazing things that happen with all the harmonies and that Justin Hayward guitar line that is the counter melody in the chorus. And so every song of theirs seems to have something special like that going on. So it's just fun to finally get a chance to do this.
And also in between songs, Lindsay, you're a storyteller. And this is one of the things that makes seeing great moments in vinyl so unique, in addition to paying tribute to albums and bands and having, you know, a collection of some of the best musicians in the city on one stage, you also tell stories about the band, about the music, and about the albums in between songs. And that's what makes...
Well, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you get sort of a peek behind the scenes is a good way to put it. You know, you and I probably growing up were very similar. We'd sit down with our records and we'd look at the album covers and we'd read the liner notes and pore over who was playing what instrument on what song and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So I try to provide backstory that goes a lot deeper than that, but it's that sort of immersing yourself in the experience of the album, you know, like Justin Hayward, for example. He had left school to pursue a career in music. He was only like 16 or 17 when he told his folks, you know, I want to be a musician. So still a teenager, seemed to be on his way. He'd hired by a husband and wife duo to be their guitarist in England, and a British skiffle legend by the name of Lonnie Donegan. You've probably heard of him.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Connected to the Beatles in any way. But Lonnie Donegan signed up Justin Hayward to a songwriting publishing company. Justin was only 18. Does this sound familiar, like Alan Klein or Leonard Chess, someone like that? It may have seemed a dream come true for Justin at the time, but as with so many artists, it actually meant that Justin Hayward would not own the rights to any of the songs he would write for the next 8 years, which literally means everything we ever heard him sing with the Moody Blues in their heyday. He didn't earn a penny for any of those songs. And yet, the man just kept writing great songs.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just this past year.
That was part of our inspiration, you know.
Yeah.
Phil and I were talking about that, too, the fact that, I mean, you look at the history of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you got the Kinks getting inducted early on, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and who are the Moody Blues? They were peers. This one thing that came out from all the research that I did is that back in the mid-60s, these bands were all hanging out together. It's not like the Beatles and the Stones were way up here and then all the other bands were down several tiers below. It's like the Moody Blues toured with the Beatles on the Beatles' last tour of England. They rode around in limousines together and stayed in the same hotels and pubs and that sort of thing. And the fact that there wasn't that separation, they both got to hang out with each other. Mike Pinder and Ray Thomas of the Moody Blues sang on a couple Beatles songs. Fool on the Hill, I think, was one of them, and Blanking Out on the other one. But that period of time, there was a lot of... interbreeding isn't the right word, but, you know, a little cross-pollination between the bands.
Right. Now, Phil, you know, you mentioned just a few minutes ago that, you know, one of the many bands that you listened to when you were younger were the Zombies, and they're up for nomination this year for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they are, and I hope they get in. They really deserve it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a very innovative group, and even though they didn't make a lot of albums together, they had so many great, strong singles. And, you know, Odyssey and Oracle on its own is just a landmark record. So I would love to see Zombies get in.
I hope they do. I hope they do. And I think
yeah,
they will. I mean, this is not the first time they've been on the ballot, I think. I think they were on the ballot
yeah,
before.
Yeah, no. I think they've been on a while, actually. Not as long as the poor Moody Blues, but they've been on for a while. So
yeah,
Hopefully they'll get in.
Yeah, well, all right. Phil, before we go back and start talking about Moody Blues again, and the concert, by the way, is this Thursday night at Martyrs. You just played a big gig with Material Reissue. You guys played at the Metro with Liz Phair.
Fun.
With Liz Phair. How fun was that, man?
It was really fun. You know, they have a history with Liz. You know, Jim was really close with Liz, and, you know, Mike and Ted maintained friendship with her. And she added a second show because she had sold out Saturday night, so they added Sunday, and we were invited. So I was thrilled, and it was a huge crowd, and it was a really, really fun show.
Yeah, I bet, really, man, fun. I bet. She's great, and that's obviously, you know, the Metro is such a great room, and there's, you know, there's
great.
So much history with her and with that room and with Material Issue and everything. That must have been a really good time for you.
Absolutely. She had said in an interview before, even before we played the show, that she'd get emotional about it. I don't know if she did or not. She may have, but I know it was like kind of a homecoming for her. And, you know, having Mike and Ted there, they went up on stage and did Turning Japanese with her and the band. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So there's some video of that. But, yeah, it was a really nice night. Really enjoyed it. So very happy to be part of it.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Lindsay, what's your connection with Moody Blues? Did you start listening to them when you were younger, too?
You know, a friend of mine in high school turned me on to them, a guy by the name of Ed Schmieding, and I've Googled him several times over the last several years just to see if he's still out there somewhere, and he's, well, there's a Moody Blues quote, but he's never turned up. But he used to take me back to his room. He was staying with some friends. And because well, actually, friends was actually the parents of the woman that he had gotten pregnant. But anyway, he would sit on the floor of the bedroom there, and he would pull out his guitar and put on these Moody Blues records. And I didn't know a lot about music at the time, but he would point out counter melodies and John Lodge singing up way high with that falsetto voice that he did so well, and just all the things that went into their songs. And I really got an appreciation for them listening to that stuff back then.
Yeah, I started listening to them when I was young, too, and it was my dad who turned me on to them. My dad turned me on to the Moody Blues.
That's cool.
Yeah. My dad turned me on to a lot of music, you know, and, you know, I remember he sat me down one time, and he's like, here, listen to this. This song, this is Cream. And he played Cream for me, and I'd never, you know, I heard White Room, and my brain almost exploded.
Wow.
And Yeah, because my parents were young when they had me, so they were listening to some hip stuff when I was, you know, when I was a kid.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So it was.
What was your first?
The Moody Blues seem to be the fan base is going to be like a lot of guys and music professors and musicians and guys. Their dads like the Moody Blues, so we're hoping we get some girls to the show. But I think they'll be
fun. It was funny because I went. It was really funny. About last month, I went to go see one of my favorite bands ever, Buffalo Tom. They were in town for one night. And they played the Metro, and, you know, it was the same night that Fall Out Boy was playing across the street at Wrigley. And as we were approaching the Metro, I was like, you know, it's because my parents were giving me a lift. We were coming from a movie, and parents gave me a lift to the Metro. As we were approaching the Metro, I said, you can tell which are the Buffalo Tom fans and which are the Fall Out Boy fans, because the Buffalo Tom fans are all guys in their 50s. So all the kids, they're not going to see Buffalo Tom. They're going to see Fall Out Boy.
I'm really excited about our show Thursday at our Martyrs because our competition, I think, is Nine Inch Nails at the Aragon.
Oh, is that right?
I mean, given the choice of the two, it's not like people are going to be deciding one or the other.
Yeah, and the venues are far enough apart, though. You know what I mean? That also
there
is a thing. Yeah. So, all right, Lindsay, one more Moody Blues story.
Sure, right. Music critics may not have thought much of the band's philosophical musings, but their fans went out and bought 70 million copies of their albums over the last 50 years, earning the group a total of 18 gold and platinum records. And if you think about it, 18 gold and platinum records, there were only the core seven that really we all think of as the Moody Blues albums. There's a lot of other albums they did rather well with, too. Just last year, Justin Hayward spoke to Forbes magazine about his success, and he was clearly modest about it. He said, there's an assumption that there's a plan about musicians and recording artists, but there isn't. It's throw it out there and see what happens. I've never chased a hit sound. Luckily, I've been with record labels who let me write what I wanted. But along with success comes a lot of failure. To be fulfilled, you must trust your own judgment and find your own identity. Find the sound you like and do that.
There you go. You know, those numbers are staggering, and I guess I take it for granted. You know what I mean? I just, when I heard 18 platinum and gold records, 70 million albums sold, I just like, my God, the Moody Blues sold that many records? I don't know why.
I know.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's nuts. Well, why don't we hear a little bit, before we get you guys out of here, why don't we hear a little more rehearsal from you guys, okay?
Sure, picks up.
All right, here we go. This is the Great Moments in Vinyl doing a little Moody Blues to take us out.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning the same. Beauty I've always missed, with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, but I love you.
We lost Lindsay. Phil, that sounds great, though, man. Maybe we can get Lindsay back just so we can say goodbye. That sounds great. That is such a great song. And that was, I mean, obviously that was
an amazing song.
A massive hit for them.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful recording. It's got a magical thing to it. Yeah. They've said that in interviews, too. It was definitely a magical recording.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, Days of Future Past was probably the one that got me into the band at first.
Yeah, it's such an interesting record. They melded pop music with the orchestrations, and it was actually an experimental record that Darum wanted to do for their stereo systems. And here it turned the band into like a very popular group, and they kind of started it was the format to what they were doing in the future. So it's a very cool record.
Yep. Hey, Lindsay, welcome. We lost you there, but you're back. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, I love what you were saying about an experimental record. I mean, really, you know, I was doing a little research, and I don't know if Phil was talking about what I said on Facebook, but, you know, back in the early days of stereo, well, mono was king back then.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking Phil Spector, but, I mean, that's just how you thought about records. And when stereo came along, people didn't quite have the understanding that you could create this image of space. What they thought of was two mono speakers. That's why, you know, those Beatles albums and Beach Boy albums with extreme things happening, you know, all the vocals in one speaker and all the instruments in the other, because they saw them as two separate things. And then what Decca was doing, or Derum Records was doing, was this sense of space where you could spread the instruments across that sonic field and get this feeling of, you know, the spread of musicians in front of you. So that's what they wanted to explore, that with the Days of Future Past.
Well, it's great stuff. It's great stuff. And I'm sure you guys are going to have a great time, and it's going to be great. And it is on Thursday night, October 25th, at Martyrs, Great Moments in Vinyl, paying tribute to the great Moody Blues. Check out greatmomentsinvinyl.com. And there you go. Lindsay, I will...
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. And Phil, I think you may be on my show sometime this week again. I think there's a chance.
For the Halloween thing?
No, for the Halloween yeah, for the Halloween show. So I think we might have you on. We might have you on again. So.
Well, good. I might be talking to you again.
Okay, buddy.
He's
take
a
care.
Person.
Yes, there you go. All right, man. Lindsay Cochran and Phil Angotti, everybody, from Great Moments in Vinyl, paying tribute to the Moody Blues this Thursday, October 25th at Martyrs. And that's all coming up this week. So let's take a quick break here on 720 WGN.